started a journey at the beginning of the year, really, to really understand in a deeper way what it means for us here in this 21st century, you know, to follow Jesus. He's, you know, he's not here literally, physically, so it's like, okay, no. And so what we've discovered really is that this idea of following Jesus really it can be summed up in the idea of becoming like him. That we follow him by allowing that transformation process to take place. And so we've been really looking at that in some depth. And we started, at least I did, going to be really focusing a lot on the Gospel of John over this next season. I don't know how long it'll last. It'll last until the Lord says,
you're done.
So until that time, we're just going to keep moving on. So tonight, if you have your Bible or your app, whatever works, you know, we're going to look at John chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 14, and I'm going to try to get through this. I love this verse, verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, John is writing on behalf of the other disciples saying, yeah, we saw something so amazing when we looked at Jesus. We saw the Word of God made flesh. And so in past weeks, we talked about how what the Word is a container of meaning, right? And so when we look at Jesus, we are literally looking at what God had in mind for the human race from the beginning. You know, he's the visible physical demonstration of what humanity was always supposed to be. And of course, we didn't make it because of Adam and Eve's problem and then, you know, how they fell and how sin entered in. Okay? And so, understanding that we now, having been made one with him, right? God's made us one with Christ. We're in him. He's in us. Can't divide us, you know? That there is a glory that exists in us because we're in Christ. There's a glory there. And the glory really is, it increases. I got to be careful because I'll start preaching on this. 2 Corinthians 3, you know, where Paul talks about how we see in a mirror the image of the Lord and we're being transformed into that image from glory to glory. As we grow in our transformation, we're actually becoming more visibly glorified to people. Because why? They're seeing who we were designed to be. You know? People get to see who you were originally meant to be if there had never been a fall. Can you imagine? That's so cool. So, I gotta move on, otherwise we'll be there all night. So, John 1:15, John testified about him, about Jesus, and cried out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Verse 16, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. This is one of the most amazing scriptures. I mean, they're all amazing, but this one is just extra amazing, at least to me. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you sat down to a big meal, maybe with your family or at a restaurant, right? And you came out of there feeling like, man, I could not eat a single thing more. Right? I am stuffed to the gills. Just give me a place where I can lay down. Basically, you know. Well, that feeling of being so, so stuffed that you could, if you ate one more thing, you'd explode. I mean, I think somebody actually did that in a movie. What movie was that? I'm seeing a movie reference here. Where somebody ate one more thing and it exploded. Anybody know that? What that
Uncle
was?
Uncle Buck.
Huh?
Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck. Really?
With the steak? With the giant steak?
No, I think that must not, that wasn't it. It was another movie where that happened. Yeah. Anyway, I get these. You gotta pray for me. I just get these, you know, references and pictures in my mind. And it's like, thank God it's not bad stuff. What do you mean? People eating stuff and exploding? That's bad. Anyway, So this idea of fullness that I was just describing, that we've all experienced at some point, right? That gives you some idea of what the word fullness in this verse is talking about. It says, of his fullness we've all received. The idea here in this word fullness is packed tight, so full it's like you can't squeeze one more thing. Okay? There's no room for it. It's just full. Okay? Completely full. And he's describing Jesus. Of his fullness we've all received, right? And the original picture here in the Greek is so cool. It talks about a ship that's filled completely with cargo. That's where the word came from originally, right? It pictures a ship that has this cargo. It's just to the, you know, the rafters of the hold, full. And that's the idea here that the Lord wants us to think about, that there's a container that's completely full and there's contents that make it full, right? So what does this mean? You know, this idea that Jesus has this fullness. Well, let's take a little journey, shall we, in the Scriptures. And let's start with Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 15 down to verse 20. This is talking about Jesus here. Colossians 1. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. See, this is what I was just talking about. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. Now, what creation is he talking about? He's talking about human creation. Talk about the human race. Jesus is the prototype of the human race that God originally designed, right? For by him, by Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. No time to unpack that one. You just have to let that one go. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, I got a comment about this. In him, it says in verse 17, in Jesus, all things hold together. Do you understand, or have you realized or heard that scientists today are trying to understand the very building blocks of our material world? And so they've got these huge things where they shoot electrons and protons and neutrons at each other to see what happens when they collide. And what they find, right, is that they break down into smaller components, which, you know, muons and gluons and all these different things. If you are a science nerd like me, you know, I love reading about that stuff. It's just, for some reason, call me crazy, but that's what I like, right? So they have broken all this stuff down, but you know what they haven't discovered yet? They haven't discovered that one particle, if it is indeed even a particle, that holds all the pieces together.
The glue.
The glue, yeah. They haven't found that yet. But you know what? In him, all things hold together. Right? And you know what's so funny? I don't know who started this or who coined this, but you know what they call this particle? The God particle. They really do. I'm not kidding you. It's so cool. All right. I got to move on. And he, Jesus, is also the head of the body, the church, and he's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. You know what? If Jesus doesn't have first place in everything, right, for us, we're missing out. He's got to have first place. Why? Because we're supposed to become like him. We're supposed to be so caught up in who Jesus is. And can I tell you, there were years that went by where I just didn't get that. I never really thought about how important it is to understand who Jesus is and to understand why that's important for me. And so a few years back, I was challenged by something that I read. I can't even tell you who wrote it. It was an article online. And I said, Father God, I now realize that I don't really have an appreciation for Jesus like I should? Do I appreciate His death and His blood? Oh, absolutely. I mean, we all do. But what is it about Him that you hold Him up? That you say stuff like this, that He's supposed to have first place in everything. I just said, Lord, you got to help me with that. And He did. You know, when you don't understand something that you read in the Word or that you hear about in terms of the Lord, you can ask Him. You can help me. And so over these past couple of years, my whole perspective on Christ has changed to where now I'm on a quest to find out more about Him, because the more I find out about Him, the more I find out about me. Isn't that weird? But it's true. Why? Because we're, again, becoming conformed to His image. So, man, I better find out what that's supposed to be, what that looks like. All right, moving on. Verse 19 says, it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus. So the Father said, hey, you know what? I'm going to pack all my fullness into Jesus so you can't fit nothing more. It's going to be completely full, right? Overflowing. And that fullness dwells in Christ. It's a permanent thing, right? And so He says, through Him, He says, I'm going to reconcile all things to Jesus, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him I say, whether things on the earth or things in heaven. A lot of this stuff is fairly deep, that you really need to spend some time with. But I want you to see this one part where He says, Father had pleasure to put fullness in Christ. And we just read in John, of that fullness we've all received. Let's move on. Colossians chapter 2 says this in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Do you know you have a choice about what takes you captive? I'm not going to be captive and captivated by Jesus about who He is, right? That's what the Lord is saying. Because you know what? There's all kinds of other stuff that you could be captivated by. He's talking about philosophies, right? What's a philosophy? It's simply man's attempt to try to explain something. You know? And when you try to explain something without God, you're going to get it wrong. Just going to get it wrong, right? All right. Again, in verse 9, it says, for in Him, in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells bodily. So, if anybody ever says to you, well, I don't believe Jesus is God. And there's folk out there that say that, right? Right? Jehovah's Witnesses, probably a few other, you know, cults and whatnot. They don't believe that Jesus is God. Well, what do you do with that verse? Colossians 2:9, for in Him, in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Right? So what is He saying? That this fullness that we're talking about, can't fit anything else, overflowing, you feel like you're going to explode, right? That's God. God has put that in Christ. The Father put that in Christ, right? Okay. Verse 10, here's another one of these mind-blowing verses. In Him, in Jesus, you have been made complete. And He's the head over all rule and authority. How many times do you ever feel like, man, what is wrong with me? Right? You ever say that? You ever feel that way? What the heck is wrong with me? Is there something wrong? Something's missing? I feel like it's all messed up. Right? We're being invited into an opportunity that the Father is giving to every single one of His kids today. What you going to believe? You going to believe some feeling, some thought, some idea in your head that there's something wrong with you when God says, in Him, in Christ, you've been made complete? What does it mean to be made complete? It means there's nothing lacking. There's nothing lacking in you, in your spirit man. You are 100% complete. Perfect. We like to go around saying, well, you know, I'm only human. I'm not perfect. And there's obviously truth to that, but it's not all the truth. Because in your spirit, man, you're 100% perfect. Why? Because your spirit and Christ's spirit are one. And he's perfect. Okay? He's perfect. So in Christ, you've been made complete. We've been made complete. There's nothing lacking. In other words, what do you need? What is it that you need in your life? Do you need peace? Do you need provision? Do you need love? Do you need healing? Do you need significance? What is it that you need in your life? In Christ, you've been made complete. See, the struggle that we all have, I'm just going to be straight up real with you right now, the struggle that we all have is who gets to meet the needs in my life? Is it me or is it him? Okay. He knows about the needs that we have. He knows about the physical, the emotional, right? Those needs that we have, he already knows about it. In him, we're made complete. So if I'm feeling like, well, you know, there's something missing here. I have a need. And I'll feel that need's not being met. I have a choice, right? My choice is, do I fulfill and meet that need myself? Right? What is that? That's living out of your old nature. Living out of the memory of who you were. Because who you were and who I was someone that would always, you know, I got this need and I know how to take care of my needs. All right? Let's be real. If I got a need and I know where to go get something to take care of that, I'm going to go do it. That's what we did before we got saved. And guess what? For a lot of us, that's what we still do after we got saved. Right? You had a lifestyle where, you know, you were out there running around, you know, having sex and getting drunk and getting high and whatever else, you know, lying and cheating and stealing and whatever else. You know, after you get saved, those memories, those thoughts, those impulses are still locked up in your brain until your mind gets renewed. Okay? So as Christians, we've been given this awesome opportunity to start to believe something different. What's the difference? The difference is I'm complete in him. Yeah, but I still feel this, man. I still feel, I want to go out there, I want to fill in the blank. Okay, I understand that. But the question is, who are you really? Who are you really? Are you that old thing that would go out and do that junk? Or are you the new creation in Christ that comes before the Father and says, okay, Papa, I got this need, and if you don't meet it, I could get in trouble. And I don't want to get in trouble anymore. You know what I'm saying? And so this idea of the fullness that we've received, right, of his fullness we have all received, means we've got an open invitation 24/7, whenever we need to just come before him and say, Lord, I need you to be this for me right now. I need you to be my peace. I need you to be my satisfaction. I need you to be the love that I'm craving right now. You know, whatever that emotion is that you trying to go after, you know, it's I need to feel that again. Well, God, help me with that because I want you to be that for me. I don't want a substitute to be that for me, which is what we would typically do, right? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay? So, How do we experience this? Well, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul lays out this prayer that he prays over all of us and that we can pray over ourselves, right? He prays in verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, that God would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. We can go before God and say, you know what, Lord? I just need you to strengthen me in my inner man, in my spirit man, so that I can be led out of that and not out of my flesh. Okay? See, our flesh, our old nature was crucified in Christ. I said this yesterday at the Impacts seminar. You know, our old nature, right? Our flesh was crucified in Christ. The Bible says that we were crucified in Christ. God put us in Jesus so that when Jesus was crucified, you and I were crucified with Him. You'll get that, right? And then it says that we were buried. We were given a proper burial through the waters of baptism. Right? So not only were we killed, our old nature was killed, the old you was killed, but you were buried. That's pretty much settled, right? But you know what we do? A lot of us practice necromancy. You know what necromancy is? It's trying to communicate with the dead. So we're all about still communicating with our old nature, our old man, which was crucified in Christ is dead, but yet I keep that communication line open. Right? And God said, no. Why go back to that defective model that, you know, isn't it interesting that when God decided that He wanted to redeem us, right, and give us another start, isn't it interesting that He did not choose to try to remodel you, right, to try to renovate you? This is going to kill you and start over. Okay? That's how drastic it needed to be. And so our whole deal right now is getting our mind renewed so that we agree with what He's done. Because it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Right? I was brought up under a regime that taught what they call progressive sanctification. What is that? It's a
big theological phrase. Yes, you know, we believe in progressive sanctification. Thank you so much.
The idea behind that was that you would get holier and holier. You know, that was the goal. Holier and holier as you grew in God, right? We start out holy. How do I know? Because we're in Christ and He's holy. You start out from holiness. And so the deal is that if I start out holy and I do something that's not holy, what's it saying? It's saying that somewhere I have an opinion or an idea that differs from God about who I really am. You see how that works? Okay? So it makes all the difference. Sure, you know, where you start from kind of determines where you end up. We have been taught so long, guys, how we've got to somehow get from here to there. Whatever there looks like. What's your there?
Well, my there is that I'm anointed and powerful and moving in the Spirit and all these things. And, you know, I don't sin and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm going to do everything in my power to get there. I'm going to strive after it, make sure that I get there. That's what we were taught. That's religion, right? That's religious thinking that says, by my works, I'm going to get there. I may have been saved by grace, but by golly, I'm going to... You know, I'm going to get holy and anointed by works. That's how we think. But the truth is, we are already there. Of His fullness, we have, past tense, all received. Okay? And so, you know, He says to us, He's praying over us that we be strengthened so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and also to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Why? So that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Here's that fullness thing again, right? What's the context? Love. Love, guys. You know, I used to be one of these people that was like, oh, love, that's kind of a mushy, wishy-washy kind of thing, right? I've since learned that love is the most powerful thing in the whole universe. Amen. It's just totally the most powerful thing. Mm-hmm. Right? And so...
What? She said you're welcome.
Huh?
She said you're welcome.
Oh, yes, that's true. See? That's right. All those rough edges get broken off, right? All right, I got to finish this up because we got good stuff to do tonight. So... Wow. Ephesians 4 talks about how God wants us to grow up as the body of Christ into all the fullness, right? Verse 13 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You know, Paul, he just is so deep. Some of this stuff, you got to just, it's like, you ever have a good piece of meat, you got to really chew on it, you know? You savor every bite. That's what this kind of stuff is. You got to chew on it, right? So we're all being put together in this body till finally the body of Christ looks like it matches her head. Have you ever seen a caricature, an artist that draws caricatures, right? They do like a cartoon of you. How do they draw the body most times? That's this little tiny thing at the bottom of the neck. You know what I mean? It's like you see the big head cartoon figure of you, and then your body looks like, you know, it's just some kind of deformed little midget thing there, right? Am I allowed to say midget still? Is that? Sorry. I am sometimes extremely un-PC. But you know what I mean, right? You've seen that, right? Well, the sad truth is that's the body of Christ right now. The body of Christ is a caricature of what it's supposed to look like. Because our stature, our height, the dimensions that we have as the body of Christ do not match Jesus as the head. His head's still immensely bigger than his body, right? So we've got some growing to do, okay? You know, Jesus can't come back until the bride is without spot or wrinkle. How many of you know that that's going to be quite a while when we get there? Woo! All right, one last thing, and then we'll move on. I'm going to flip back to John and chapter 16. And this is really right before Jesus is crucified. And he says, I have many more things to say to you in verse 12, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now check this out, verse 14. He will glorify me, Jesus is talking about what the Spirit's going to do. He's going to glorify Jesus. For he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. How do you think Jesus, because he has all the fullness in him, he's got some pretty amazing things that we have access to. You thought about that?
Yeah.
We're in Christ. He's got the fullness of everything. We've been given of his fullness. But how many of us really know what that is? I know I don't. I mean, I know some things because I look at what Jesus did, right? How he healed and delivered and did miracles and all this. I see that and go, okay, yeah. But that's like the tip of the iceberg. I was talking yesterday about the mysteries that God wants to reveal to us. There are things about Jesus that we don't even understand yet. We haven't seen yet. We don't even know exist. And the Holy Spirit's job is to take that stuff and begin to reveal it to us. If we're paying attention. Okay? We got to pay attention. He wants to show us stuff about Jesus that we've never seen before. Why? Because of his fullness, we have all received. Are you getting the message here? Right? We have this invitation. And so, verse 15, he says, this is Jesus saying, all things that the Father has are mine. All things! You know? I don't know what those all things are. All I know is that Jesus has them. He says, I've got them. They're mine. Father gave them to me. Therefore, I said that he, the Spirit, takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So my question to you guys is, is your interest in this peaked enough that you're willing to take this journey and say, Holy Spirit, I want to know. I want you to disclose to me. I want to see stuff about Jesus that I don't see yet, that I don't understand yet, because here's the deal. You ready? If you see it, you can have it. If you see it, you can have it. So what if there's some interesting new things that the Lord wants to reveal to us about Jesus that will enable us to do things that we never thought we could before? You know? Peter didn't think he could walk on the water. He was hoping it would work. Lord, if that's you, call me out. Steps out of the water. Whoa, I'm walking on the water. What the heck is this? Right? And then he sees the wind and you know, feels the waves. And it's like, uh-oh. But that was something new for Peter. And you gotta realize this, right? When God shows you something about Jesus, it's because he wants you to experience it. Amen. He does not want you to simply have this as a great idea. Wow, that's really cool. No. He wants us all to have that walking on water,
yes,
experiences and encounters with him. So that's what I'm really, you know, excited about for us as this tribe, you know, that we're on this journey for the Holy Spirit to just begin to show us more and more of who Jesus is. Because of his fullness we've all received, we get to be like him. We are really like him. It's just that there are areas in us that we haven't come into agreement with who we really are. You see how that works?